Welcome everyone for everyone's favorite time of year, March Madness. Specifically, the Women in Fiction March Madness, brought to you only by non-productive.com, home of laundry. It's what you need to thirst the cringe to the max.
Yeah, we're never going to get any sponsorship from any real or imagined drink company. We are non-productive.com, your home for internet stuff. And at this time of year, we like to bring you a geeky March Madness for the rest of us. You know what I mean? You know, for us who aren't so into sports ball, or for those of us who are interested in sports ball but are also interested in geek things. And a topic this year, very near and dear to all our hearts, is women in fiction. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. My name is Frank. I'm joined in studio by James, Al, Pete, and Nate. Hi, folks.
Hi.
Hi, Franks.
Howdy.
On a scale between one and amazing, how excited are you for this March Madness?
Stoked!
I'm real hype. I can't wait to hear the numbers.
It's been a while since we've done this, and in fact, it's been a while since we opened up submissions. We have had, I believe, record number of submissions this year. Several, I think it was about 300 to 400 different characters were submitted. Many of them submitted multiple times by multiple people, which meant that they had a chance of getting into the competition. And then for 2 weeks, perhaps maybe 1 week longer than we intended, put it out to seeding to our fans, and our fans were able to pick which characters were most important to them, and we use that and complicated maths to determine the ranking of these characters for our March Madness competition.
Yeah, we damn near broke the Computron here.
Yeah, it's just smoke and hamsters are coming out of that thing.
Gosh darn it.
we're kind of getting in everything, too.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. We are, of course, at Nonproductive, really excited to hear more from our listeners about why these characters are so important to you. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a couple of opportunities during the show to give us feedback during the week while we open up the first round of competition.
It's what makes March Madness so exciting here, Frank.
Exactly. And we want to hear from all of you. So please contribute and join in the conversation. We want to hear your voices. As we go over our 64 characters that are going to be in our March Madness, stay tuned. We're going to tell you how you can get early access to vote for your favorites in round one of our competition. This year, our March Madness has four regions named for one of the final four characters from our original March Madness a few years ago. The four regions are the Sarah Connors region, the Ellen Ripley region, the Buffy Summers region, and the Hermione Granger region.
And for those of you who are fans of those characters and who submitted them in our initial call for submissions, we want to assure you we retired these characters from competition because they made it to the top of the heap last time. They're basically put into our Hall of Fame for women in fiction now.
Yeah.
So this is even a higher honor than getting to compete.
Absolutely.
It's like retiring a number on a jersey.
With no further ado, let's get started with our first region. The Sarah Connors region. Let's go. First character on the list. I'm really excited that this character made it to the list. Yeah. Very, very excited.
I'm really happy. I'm tingling with anticipation.
And, you know,
baiting with weighted breath.
Our first character we're going to discuss is Monkey from Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo was definitely one of my favorite films this year, and the character of Monkey is super unique and interesting, and really, she's an incredibly strong character in this movie and really helped bring the film together, so I'm super excited to see her on this list.
One complication, it's hard to talk about the character so much without spoiling it. It's a movie everyone should see. I think I literally cried in the theaters.
Really?
It was amazing.
Oh, I want to see it so bad. Right.
Next on the list, Squirrel Girl, a.k.a. Doreen Green from Marvel Comics.
Yay!
Squirrel Girl made it. That's almost not surprising. But yeah, Squirrel Girl's a fan favorite. Everybody loves her. She's fun. She's kind of goofy.
Great comic books.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and she's always been a fan favorite for years when she would like face Galactus. It's just ridiculous. Next on our list is Leela from Futurama.
Nice.
I'm really excited about
that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling that.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of sad because I don't think she was even nominated last time we did this.
I'm not sure. She may not have just made it past seeding.
Yeah.
It's strange that Futurama is as strong a series as I would have expected. But, you know, cool. Very good.
You go, Taranga.
Yeah. Next on our list would be Mary Poppins from Mary Poppins.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we get some of the like kind of old classic kind of characters. Like, I think it's important that we remember like a lot of these like sort of like beginning characters were the first
women did exist before the early 1900s.
Yeah, it was in 1850 they invented women. And then Mary Poppins came out.
I'm just going to say, I already hate this bracket.
Oh?
Because there's so many great characters in this bracket. They're not all going to make it.
No. Half of the characters we talk about today will not make it, including possibly Captain Janeway from Star Trek Voyager. So excited that that Captain Janeway made it, because when Voyager first came out, she was given a lot of crap. That character was vilified by a huge part of the community, by the fan base that are annoying.
Undeservedly so.
Actually, I'll agree. Not in the beginning, definitely didn't deserve that.
That's a weighted statement in the beginning. All right. Next, another surprising one for me that it got, not that it got nominated, but that so many people picked it, picked her, Nausicaa from Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
Huh.
A relatively early Miyazaki film.
Yeah. That's very surprising.
James, are you excited?
I'm super excited. Nausicaa is one of, if not Miyazaki's first feature film character, and just set the tradition of strong female characters to come. So it's great to see the numero uno on the list.
Right. I know you have a warm place you have in your heart for that movie, and you actually have no feelings whatsoever about the next character on our list, Lady Eboshi from Princess Mononoke. We all laugh because you wrote the defense article about this character.
I did, and I'm super excited to talk about how much I love this character again. Miyazaki creates great female characters.
Well, talk quick, because she might not make it to the next round. she is up against, well, I don't actually know who she's up against, but then other characters in this region is Galadriel from The Lord of the Rings. Huh. Hmm. Of all the Lord of the Rings characters that are female, Galadriel is one of the ones that actually does something in the books and the movies. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, she is beautiful and terrible.
And also leader of her people. So, I mean, it's, I would have expected a couple other characters here, but as far as like a leader character and someone to like sort of like that takes that reins and like rules over her people, that's a good character to pick.
What I'm curious about is how much the Hobbit trilogy has an effect on this character's fan base, because I know Galadriel appears in at least one of those movies, but then I didn't watch any of the other ones, which I am shocked by.
She doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the films.
All right. Well, she didn't have anything to do with the first books in the Hobbit book, so there we go. Speaking of characters that had nothing to do with the Hobbit, Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She had more to do with The Hobbit than Galadriel
did.
Lisa, we're trying to push through the list pretty quickly, but I think certain characters need time. Lisa, I don't think made it in the first competition.
No.
Really an underrated character.
Frank, I can sum it up in one sentence. She is Lisa Simpson.
One of my favorite episodes. Yeah. The Simpsons is seminal in a million different ways, and Lisa as the smart little sister is an essential character. All right, here we go. We all knew these were coming. Pearl from Steven Universe.
I'm assuming this is the beginning of a long line of Steven Universe characters.
Oh, this will not be the end of the Steven Universe character. Steven Universe as a series did not exist the first time we did our Women in Fiction.
This is very true. And that show has exploded since then,
actually. They did introduce a huge slew of powerful female characters.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, powerful in both ways in this case. Both well-developed characters and ability to destroy suns, I assume.
Oh, they're great at that.
Next, speaking of abilities to destroy suns, I don't know why. Belle from Beauty and the Beast. So there's a lot of, there's going to be a lot of chips on shoulders. We see this every year during these competitions as certain fandoms fight other fandoms.
Right.
And typically the princess fandoms are vilified. Everybody talks dirt about them. Disney princesses are crap, etc. And then there's like the anime fandoms that are like every character they could think of gets nominated. I feel like each of these fandoms do each other a disservice by not listening to the strengths of the other ones. There is a lot of goodness in Belle, and I hope she makes it to the next round.
And I think this one's a particularly interesting entrant, especially if she moves on to the next round, because we're going to have the Beauty and the Beast movie, the live action movie,
and
coming
out. And who plays Belle in the Beauty
Emma
and the Beast?
Watson.
Emma Watson, who was Hermione.
Who won our first Women in Fiction contest.
But even beyond that, from what I hear about the live action movie, Belle actually has a lot. It's a much stronger role. She has a lot more that she does. She has more agency in this film. So it'll be very interesting to see how that affects the running.
Right, right. All right. Speaking of films and amazing agency, the next character on our list, Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
Hell yeah.
This is a character who I heard people screaming out in the streets how amazing she was.
After I saw that movie, I shaved my head.
Nice.
It was awesome.
That's awesome. Actually, that deserves extra points, I think.
I did too, but it was a lice problem. Yeah. I'd rather not get into it too far.
Local theaters have a problem, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, here's something that's pretty exciting. So we've spoken at length already that Hermione Granger won our first March Madness competition. The competition was tight towards the end, though, so it's not a shutdown. It's not a shutout. This next character, Professor McGonagall, from Harry Potter.
Ooh.
I am shocked that McGonagall made it on the list and shocked she made it this high seed.
How can you be shocked? First of all, Dame Maggie Smith.
Absolutely. Credit.
Badass.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I McGonagall.
I feel like McGonagall is funny in webcomics after Harry Potter. I can't remember a lot of stuff she did.
Gotta go back and watch.
I should go back and read, probably. And read. Right?
Well, that too.
Because here's the thing, like, when you talk about like characters that are unsung heroes, the Weasley mom is the character I remember most as Stay Away From My Daughter, You Bitch. You know, like, I could see the moments there that a casual observer would have overlooked. I can't remember a lot with Professor McGonagall, but maybe I'm just wrong.
It could be that Smith is in a hit TV show now, and that, you know, now that she's popular,
people are just voting for Smith.
I mean, it could be that, really. Mm-hmm. And then it just comes down to, like, oh, well, her character that we all really love but didn't get a lot of screen time, but, like, we all love her now, so let's play up this character.
Well, you didn't read the books, and she had a lot more in the books than she did in the movies, and she was a really powerful figure, and I think almost like a maternal sort of sense to Harry in a lot of senses, and just a really, really interesting character as a teacher and a just really awesome. I love her.
All right, cool. Yeah. So we're closing out this last list pretty soon with Toph Beifong from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
No, I love her.
Why no, then?
She's awesome.
Yeah, all right, well, that's a good thing she's on the list.
Hell yeah!
Tell me a little bit why she's awesome.
Toph, she's great because she's just like she's this really powerful character who, she's got this great character arc about being helpless and not being helpless and the expectations other people have for her that she doesn't want to even say that she shouldn't have, you know? It's a really powerful story arc, and it really gives her a lot of agency in a story that didn't want to give it to her, almost.
Interesting.
It's just really good.
All right.
And it's also nice to have a representation of, like, you know, a person who, like, is blind, like, and is still able to be, like, kind of one of the biggest badasses in that show.
And I think the powerful thing is that she's actually, like, blind and not, like, Daredevil blind a lot of the times, like, comic Daredevil blind.
Hmm. All right, our next character on the list, one of my favorites that I only found later in life, Mulan. Mulan is, whenever we get people who are talking smack about the Disney princesses, Mulan is the exception, typically. Or else they come up with Mulan 2 Electric Boogaloo, and then we just say, all right, that does not count.
Or Moulin Rouge, which had, like, nothing to do with it.
Yeah, very little, very little. Mulan is a character that did well even in our Disney Power March Madness from a while back. And I'd like to see this warrior princess, although I don't know why she's a princess at all, you know, rank on this competition. I hope she makes it to the next round. And wrapping up our Sarah Connor bracket is Garnet from Steven Universe.
Hell yeah.
Garnet. So here's the thing. I loved Steven Universe the first 5 to 10 episodes I've seen, maybe the first season. And then I just fell off the wagon. I'm behind in Steven Universe. So I don't know what's going on. And I feel like I have to catch up or else it's all going to be spoiled for me through this March Madness. For example, the characters are very distinct from one another, but I'm wondering why people pick Garnet ahead of Pearl in this competition. Hopefully we'll get some defense articles written for us. We'll explain that.
Yep. And I would definitely say watch the show because those defense articles are probably going to ruin things.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking for you, the fans, to help us with those defense articles.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to be watching TV like we're paid to do so. You have to do that, and then you have to write the words. And then we will make the words on the paper, on the screen, And that's how that works.
Yeah, there we go.
More about that later. All What's right. on the next region, Frank?
The next region is actually our Hermione Granger region. So,
yay, Hermione.
Sure.
It would have been really strange if Emma Watson's bell had wound up on this one.
Yes, but let's go through our
I don't read so good, so I was really excited in the books when Hermione fought the Augury.
All right.
I hate this.
We're not wasting time doing this.
Fair enough.
Our first contestant in this region is Winry Rockbell from Full Metal Alchemist.
Wow. Really?
Yay!
James, have you ever watched the show?
It is one of my favorite shows of all time. Full Metal Alchemist is one of my favorite stories of all time. And Winry, I think, can be a little bit of an underrated character. I think there are tons of great female characters in that show, but Winry's role is a difficult one, and it's cool to see her represented.
Al, you want to yell at
James? I just want to say I want to concur with James's love for this show, so much so that he referenced it in his wedding vows.
Wow.
Oh my God, James.
Oh, interesting. There's a lot of ways that could go dark, so let's not examine it. The next character is Rose Tyler from Doctor Who. Ah, one of my favorite companions from the new Doctor Who. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. Rose, unfortunately, I feel like was about to or did have her own show for a bit. Like, there's Rose Tyler Defender. No, it was going to happen, but it didn't happen. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, is that
me.
What happened?
Yeah.
What I like about Rose is that Rose basically was the entry point for the spark that was the resurgence of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eccleston was fine, great. I enjoyed his run a lot, but I think Rose was one of the characters that really brought the series back into light.
Yeah.
Then our next character is Elizabeth Swann from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Why you laugh, Frank?
I don't know about this one.
So as someone who recently just put on Pirates of the Caribbean, we were with a group of friends who were looking for something to watch, her character is super powerful and has so much agency in that story. She's essentially the main character. We think of, like, the breakaway hits as, you know, Johnny Depp's kooky pirate or, you know, the devilish, you know, Will. But the character you follow, the character you really want to know kind of what happens to them, the character that moves us through that story, that's Elizabeth Swann's character. And I really think it actually shows just how powerful that movie is, that the first one works so well and the others don't when they start to focus on these other characters.
Absolutely.
All right. Next character, Eowyn from The Lord of the Rings. All right. Let me just put this out there. I get that Eowyn in the book was probably not as involved as she was in the movies,
mm-hmm.
but I love what they did with her in the movies. I think they did a great job. I think that's it's one of the greatest trilogies ever made, and it's a great entry point.
I definitely want to say I think you're short-selling the book character, because I think that character came off a lot stronger to me personally when reading those pages, and I feel like the warrior maiden came off much stronger
in
the book than it did in the film, and I think it's a great representation.
Zoe Washburn from Firefly.
Yes.
Wow, a Firefly character made it on the list. What a surprise. I think Zoe's my favorite Firefly character. If you're
absolutely
gonna pick one. Yeah.
Not my favorite, but she's still very good.
Yeah.
I think she might be my favorite. Well, I love that character. Every moment she was doing something on screen, I was like, yes, yes.
Here's a character I don't know much about. I wish Matt were here to talk to us about Chloe from Life is Strange.
Oh, I love Chloe. Like, I love that character. She's really interesting, and she really reminds me of the kind of person I was in high school and the kind of people I spent a lot of time with in high school. And it's not a character I usually see, so it was almost weird to see this character. Like,
this, I think, is our first video game character that we've mentioned, at least.
Wow,
in the
is
list.
It?
Yeah.
Help me out. I don't know Life is Strange. Is Chloe the audience surrogate, sort of?
No.
Or is she the mysterious one?
She is the mysterious, blue-haired, sort of loner girl that your main character has a big crush on.
Cool.
Next character on our list, a character a lot of us had a crush on, I guess. I don't know if that was a bad segue. Velma from Scooby-Doo.
No, that was
the
I'd best
agree with
segue.
That.
Yeah.
We all can agree with that.
I think it's interesting if you watch the original Scooby-Doo.
Her and Shaggy, man.
All right, there you go. I'm done.
Apparently.
Actually, that's the new Scooby-Doo. They actually, yeah. That was, I'm give them credit. It's a good story.
They're shipping them?
I found it very unsettling.
Well, I would say that in the original Scooby-Doo, I think many of the characters were interchangeable, except for Shaggy and Scooby.
Yeah.
But then Velma eventually became the I'm the smart geeky one, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
RZA Hawkeye from Full Metal Alchemist is on the list. James, are you screaming with delight?
I'm very excited. I mean, I think almost by definition, the best female character. Well, I don't know. There are a lot of great female characters in Full Metal Alchemist.
And I'm going to list them all right now, is what how he wants to end that sentence.
Riza is amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Riza's
hold your
so
tongue
great.
Because you don't know who else is going to be on this list.
Right. Batgirl, a.k.a. Oracle, a.k.a. Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. probably a few other things.
No, it's important that we establish which Batgirl we're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
We are. This is clearly, I guess, you know what? We're going to leave it up for interpretation. If you want to vote for Batgirl because there's a different Batgirl you actually want, you're fully willing. We're willing to accept that as a vote. But specifically, Barbara Gordon, Oracle, Batgirl, really like the icon of a generation. I think since her appearance, at very least for me, since her appearance in the 66 show, has always been an important part of the storyline. And one of the few consistent things that goes through, for better or for worse, one of the more consistent things that have gone through storytelling in the DC Comics universe.
Worthy addition.
Is Donna Noble from Doctor Who. Now, many of you are going to be thinking, bleh, who cares? But I just want to point out that Donna Noble beat Rose Tyler on our competition as being more popular, and for good reason. Donna is awesome.
She is the best companion, hands down.
Donna should have gotten the TARDIS and just ended up being on her own show 100%, just having like passive-aggressive adventures through time and space. Donna is fun, and that's something that Doctor Who really needs.
Yep.
Next, speaking of something that needs a little bit of fun, Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones. Oh.
She is pure fun.
No, this is a grimdark series. I couldn't get through much of the TV show. I am up to date on the books thanks to you, Pete, or blaming you, Pete. Brienne, she is one of the heartbreaking characters in the show. I think she's one of the few people who is like just genuinely, honestly good.
Yeah.
And I also think she's one of the few characters to go out and actually have a achievable goal and achieve it.
Yeah, I guess she is. Yeah.
To some way. I mean, she has a habit of failing in her goals, but even that doesn't stop her.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, okay, yeah, I screwed that up, or forces beyond my control screwed that up for me, but I'm going to figure out the next best thing, and I'm going to do that, damn it.
Right, as opposed to spending three books changing the subject.
She is an unstoppable force of nature, and I think this tournament will prove that out.
Wow. Ooh, I hope so.
Ooh.
Speaking of unstoppable forces of nature, maybe. I don't know the character. Asami from Legend of Korra. Probably a bender, right?
Nope.
No, that's actually one.
Great. My segue is shattered before my eyes. Tell me a little bit about Asami.
Asami's actually the owner of a company.
What?
Actually, yeah. She owns a sort of robotics company, for lack of a better term.
Right, we're done. Yeah. Let's move on.
She's a business lady.
She is.
And she's got a cute girlfriend. Friend.
All right, that's cool. Next on our list is Mabel from Gravity Falls.
Yay!
Mabel! I remember Mabel did not make it very far. She appeared in previous March Madnesses. I don't remember which ones. I think the Disney one, maybe.
Disney one, yeah.
It did not make it very far. Mabel's a fun character. The show is amazingly fun. It makes me want to like revisit X-Files, but a goofy X-Files. Our next character. Katara from Avatar, Bender, right?
Bending whatever.
This one's a Bender,
good,
yes.
Good, good. I'll just edit that transition so it works. There are a lot of Avatar and Korra characters on our list. So far, I think this is our fourth, right?
Yeah.
I think something that helped, when we ran our first Women in Fiction competition, The Legend of Korra had just finished up its first season and in kind of a disappointing end, but the series as a whole, Legend of Korra, finished so strong and in such a powerful way that I think it's really brought The Legend of Korra and Avatar The Last Airbender back into the conversation, particularly with these female characters. And that stands for Korra all the way through to the rest of them.
I mean, Katara is awesome in her own show. Maybe possibly coming off the coattails of Korra. But I think even besides that, Katara has consistently been the mother of her group and the one who led them through most of their logical decisions. And I don't think that the group in Last Airbender would have made it without her.
Next on our list, Connie Maheshwaran from Steven Universe. Another Steven Universe character.
Ugh,
our third.
What a great one.
And I wouldn't have thought Connie would have been the one to show up on. I mean, we got Garnet and Pearl, but I was so surprised to see Connie on this list and nominated as many times as she was.
You know, I voted for Connie because, personally, if I had to pick one Steven Universe character to win, I'd vote for Connie 100% all the way. But I didn't expect other people to, but I am so happy to see other people agree that Connie is such a great character, because she is.
Yeah, to give you guys a little bit of background, Connie is not one of the Crystal Gems, so it's amazing that she is doing so well up against these other super powerful characters, the actually superpowered characters. But yeah, really fun character, really interesting, and... just part of what makes that show special. And our last character in the Hermione Granger bracket, Luna Lovegood from
Hell
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Appropriate.
I don't know about this one, folks.
Luna Lovegood, mic drop.
This has been a thing that's been bothering me. Like, whenever, as soon as I heard her name, like, I swear to God, a Bond girl has that name.
Oh, possibly.
I swear to God, that's a Bond girl name.
It's an English thing. Don't cast aspersions. Okay. You're covered in nargles, by the way.
Here's the thing that hits me with Luna is part of me, the pessimist in me, wonders, is this how Harry Potter fans reacted to there being no Hermione on the list? And then, I don't know, maybe the character really is important.
Luna didn't make the cut for the first one, I don't think.
No.
But I would have voted for her over Hermione.
Really?
Absolutely. I love Luna. Nobody out there is her own person more than Luna Lovegood.
Truth.
Absolutely agreed.
That's very true. All right, I'll give you that. If you have a character you want to identify with personally, I keep looking at this as powerful only means, you know, does a lot in the story. And Luna does a fair amount. But the fact that she is herself stands by herself.
Luna is one of those characters that I get the feeling that there's an entire different set of books that could be written
from her perspective
about what she's doing during all the Harry Potter things that would be equally exciting.
That's interesting. All right, cool. All right, we're moving on to our next region. This is the Buffy Summers region. And our first contestant in this region, I'm shocked that they only barely made it, Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers from Marvel Comics.
Well, her movie ain't out yet.
Honestly, that's it. I think that's it because comic book fans love her. But mainstream acceptance, maybe not quite there yet. And I think once that movie drops, hopefully it'll do it.
I will definitely say from the very few moments I've seen with her, like in the animated TV show for Avengers, she was fantastic. She beat up the Hulk in that show. It was great.
Nice. Speaking of beating up the Hulk, we have Xena from Xena the Warrior Princess. One of my fanfics from high school was her, Xena versus the Hulk. Xena is amazing. I can't believe Xena doesn't do better in these competitions. I think she was in our first.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I guess it's time period. I mean, it was a 90s TV show. Maybe not a lot of people are too aware of it or whatever, but super good.
Absolutely. Again, wait until that new TV show drops and brings it back into the mainstream.
Oh, is Xena coming back?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. Oh, I had no idea. Next on our list is Princess Bubblegum from Adventure Time.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, come on. She's a great science lady. She's a princess. She does cool lab coat science stuff. Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah,
she's possibly the villain of the series.
Yeah. That's my thing with it.
No, but that's a good thing. Being a villain doesn't make you a bad character.
That is true.
Especially if you're a secret villain.
Yeah, even better.
You're a secret villain.
That's a plot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Throw down.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's do this.
Secret villain.
Wow. All right, so I've turned around on Adventure Time. I love the show. I am also way behind on Adventure Time, too, so there's a lot of catching up I need to do. Next character, speaking of getting that movie bump, Wonder Woman from DC Comics. Now, kind of infamously, Wonder Woman wasn't even nominated the first time we did a March Madness competition.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was very odd. We chalked it up to her being represented on the page. She was one of the few images on the page when we originally asked for submissions. And I think maybe that just everyone just assumed, well, the other guy's going to vote for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, but Wonder Woman is ranked seated still pretty low in this. I think there's something about DC comic characters. There's so much up for interpretation. Maybe it's hard for people to pick a version they like. Next on our list is Star Butterfly from Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear it.
It's a good cartoon. It's cute, and I like it.
It's definitely a lot more deep than I thought it was the first time first few times I watched it.
Also, so. A lot more violent, which is great.
So much more violent. Oh. There's so much going on under the surface, and I love that it pulls you in with this fun aesthetic and then throws you all of this crazy stuff, and she's such an interesting character, and I love it. I'm so excited to see her.
Well, let's see if she's going to survive as she's in a competition with character elites such as Peggy Carter from Agent Carter in the Marvel Comics universe. Mm. Ah, so happy that Peggy Carter made it. I don't think she made it last time. Peggy Carter is a character that keeps getting knocked out of, like, everything. Like, she's not represented in the movies. She's not represented in TV shows. I really hope she takes it away, or at least, like, survives for a few rounds in their competition.
I agree, because I really like that Peggy Carter show, and I'm going to miss the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm. Our next contestant is Merida from Brave. I love Disney's Brave. I love that movie. If you're looking at, like, you know how people misunderstand Disney princesses and they're like, there's some of them are better than Brave. Merida is the best Disney princess for the whole. I don't want to get married. I don't want to do what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. I have my own story to tell. And she carries that the entire time. The story's about her mother and her mother. It's beautiful. Love it.
And there's bears.
Also bears. Yeah. Our next character. Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Kamala Khan from Marvel Comics, beating Captain Marvel, and I think rightly so.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I love Ms. Marvel. So when I first heard about Kamala Khan, I was like, all right, because I'm a little wary of characters that are just like told that this is a representative character. Trust me, this is good enough for you. Like, I'm always a little wary.
Yeah.
And then I read the first few issues and I fell in love. This is how you do it. This is how you bring a new character in to take over an old role.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Pitch perfect. Wonderful. Love the book. Hope she makes it to the next round.
Agreed.
Next character is Sailor Moon from Sailor Moon.
It's hard not to have, like, what was the one of the biggest names in anime.
Yeah.
And sort of, like, a big part of a lot of childhoods.
Yeah,
and
no shock that she's here.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, like, a huge representation. Like, represents an entire genre, which is, like, the magical girl genre. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just... I mean, it's hard to have a strong female character list and not put her on it.
She's a major Japanese feminist icon even today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. That's the word I was going to use. Is like, you can parse her story however you want, but the character itself is an icon.
Mm-hmm. The next character on our list is Violet Baudelaire from A Series of Unfortunate Events. I know nothing about this. I mean, I know that it was a book series. I know it was not a well-received movie and a Netflix show.
Yeah, the Netflix show is absolutely fabulous. I just got done watching the first season.
Agreed.
And it's light years ahead of the movie.
And is Violet like the main protagonist of the kids?
Yeah, she's the oldest of the three. And while all three of them get a lot of time and claws in her especially, she gets the most of it. And I would say she's definitely the leader. And she was a huge inspiration to me as a child because she's brilliant and an inventor. And she's thrown in all these horrible situations. All three of them are. It's a series of unfortunate events. All the events are unfortunate. And you know, she's always getting them out of them. And as a kid, it was just so inspiring and an icon to me as a child.
If you like the Addams Family and Dr. Seuss, A Series of Unfortunate Events is like a great combination.
Wow, actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Our next character, Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Leslie Knope is the president we all wish we had. And that's not even a political statement. Well, I guess it is. But definitely, Leslie Knope. The entire show, the ensemble cast is great. Leslie definitely brings it all together. And just relentless positivity. You can't go wrong. Love the character. Next on our list is Korra from Legend of Korra. Wow, surprising. Avatar Korra character.
The Legend of Korra is an incredible series. The Legend of Korra is a series that just, as a whole, learns from itself and from the mistakes it makes and from the way the characters work and just creates better characters all the way through. And Korra is no exception to that. Korra is a strong, wonderful, and likable character when it starts. I think she might be one of the best characters, period, by the time the series ends. It's just really, I'm hoping we have a champion here. I won't lie.
Oh, wow. All right. But she is eventually going to be put up against Azula from Avatar: The Last Airbender. What a surprise. An Avatar character.
So Azula's another great character. Azula's really like a tragic story because Azula's the villain, but she's one of those characters that she's like a villain by circumstance. You know, if circumstances had been different, Azula could have just as easily been one of the heroes of that story. You know, and it's a really interesting
demographic
that maybe she'll run into Korra along the way.
I really like that. I think that's really cool. All right, now we're coming across a group of characters I'm not familiar with because they're in recent films, and I'm not allowed to leave the house, apparently. Judy Hopps from Zootopia.
I would absolutely put her on this list, and I'm going to say I hope she gets high on it, because I feel like Judy Hopps is the main protagonist in a film that says so much, especially about things these days, and not only has flaws, but learns from those flaws, evolves as a character, and it also is a strong-willed character that that is consistently told, you can't do this, but then does it anyway, and I just... Judy Hopps, man.
She's a great role model.
Judy Hopps. So, all right, I'll be honest. I completely dismissed this movie. I was like, Zootopia, it's another talking animal thing and whatever. I wasn't thrilled with it one way or another. And I had to research it for this competition. And there is... What the hell is that movie about? It seems... All right, I got to watch this movie because it seems really, really deep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not expect that. But yeah. I wonder if our voters are going to expect. I mean, clearly she's seated pretty highly. But if, you know, if the majority aren't actually haven't watched the movie yet, we might see her drop sooner than you expect. Next on the list has got a character who has a similar issue. Moana from Disney's Moana.
Moana is a character that starts out as a strong-willed character and really leads that movie to the places it needs to go. There's kind of no beating the spirit that character brings to the film, and it just makes the movie an overall joy.
Again, I haven't seen the movie, although I've heard great things.
I really want to catch this because I hear a lot of things about it. I hear that she's very atypical and that, all right, that's interesting.
This is one of those places where we definitely need you, the listeners who voted for this character, to chime in. We're going to give you a chance. When the next round comes open, there's going to be an option to not only vote, but to actually write a little bit about why you pick a character as your favorite. Leave us your email address. We'll reach out to you. And if you would like to write an article, that would be great. All right. And rounding out this region, Leia Organa from Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot of strong emotions tied to this one.
Absolutely. This is...
A lot of respect for the general.
Of course. And, that's one of the fun parts about this, because in the early parts of the community, this contest, people are submitting it, so they could submit it any way they want. They could put in their names, they could put in, we've gotten Princess Leia, we've gotten Leia Organa, we got General Organa, and I think even Senator at some point.
I was interested, somebody just put the good twin. And I assume that's who they were talking about.
Somebody wrote down Snoke. Come on, we know. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You heard it here first, folks.
I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
Should I beep that out? I don't know.
Lucas will come for you.
Yeah, all right, good. Leia is an essential character in Star Wars, an essential character in, self-saving princess, the self-rescuing princess society.
It's a word we used earlier, but I'm going to say it again. She's an icon.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so that rounds up that region. We have one region left to go. 16 more characters. For those of you who are holding the seating list, wondering if your character is on it, wonder no more, because we're going to go through them. In the Ellen Ripley category.
Believe it or not.
Ellen Ripley region. Our first character is Raven from Teen Titans and DC Comics.
I'm surprised she's seated so low.
I'm not. She's a cool character, but, you know, there's just so many different comic book characters to pick from. So I could see why she maybe split the vote with a few others.
But she's kind of the best.
Oh, really?
I don't think people are voting for her comic iteration.
I do think they're probably focusing on the Teen Titans show. Mm-hmm. You're right. Or is it Teen Titans Go? Oh. All right. The next character is Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Now, again, another Disney princess, and a lot of little criticism, especially this one, because she spent so much of the movie choosing to lose her voice and et cetera.
But she chooses to lose her voice.
I think more importantly is that there is something being said in the story about those things. Or at least there's the option. There's the potential for that story to come out. I think there's a lot of value in there. We'll see how well Ariel does. Another character that is on our list that also gets a lot of flack. And I think this whole list is going to be characters that people are love-hate. is Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. Now, I wrote the defense for Sansa Stark last competition. Things have happened to her character in the TV show that are not following the book in the years since.
Yet.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I understand why people are upset with this young girl who is sort of naive. I just feel like you got to realize how much she managed to survive with how little skills she was given by her family and by the society she lives in.
I think there's an argument to be made that there are very few characters in the Song of Ice and Fire series that grow as much as she does.
Absolutely. And I do feel like there's a she might be the queen in the north, and we might see a lot more from Sansa. All right. Next is Ellie from The Last of Us.
Yay!
Can you tell us a little about the character in the game?
We get another video game character, which we have a lot less of than I expected. She's surviving in this post-apocalypse zombie-type game, but she's this really cool character because she's like a young-ish girl. I'm not sure how old is she, 15, 16, something in that area?
Yeah.
And the whole basis of the game is that she's got the infection, but she's the only person immune, and you got to get her to this other place so that they can cure it.
But
and
she's still a character, right? She's not just something you're carrying from scene to scene.
And that's the big thing, is kind of when it starts out, your character's like, oh, I don't want to carry this girl around, and I think you're supposed to feel that way too, and you don't really start to like the character until you drag her on all these missions and you protect her and you learn who she is as a character and the things she feels.
That's
and
cool.
does.
Very
and as
cool.
you meet her and introduce her and get to know her, she becomes a character.
That's very cool. Next on our list is Daria from Daria. Shocked Daria appears in this list at all. I love
shocked anybody remembers Daria.
Yeah, that's really why, because like it's a what, a 90s MTV show, but
it's a Beavis
I love
and
her.
Butthead spinoff.
Yeah.
I will say though, this show was like vastly influential, I think, in pop culture. I think Daria held sway.
I think a lot of writers really did enjoy that show.
Yeah. I think that I don't think there's a lot of shows we wouldn't have if there wasn't a Daria. I think there's a lot of, I think that show just did so much work and was so influential and so
you know
important
what?
To so many kids.
If you were listening to me say Daria, I can't believe they were even in the contest, and you got upset, then you should be writing the defense for Daria right now, because this character may have made your entire personality. Next on the list, big hit, Jessica Jones from Marvel Comics, obviously on the back of the Netflix series, which is probably my favorite Netflix series. Certainly, I think it's my favorite Marvel series. It was really, like, shockingly jarring and interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how well she's going to do in the competition against some of these other characters or, again, icons.
I'll tell people, if you're on the fence about Jessica Jones and you've only seen the TV show or read the recent comics, go back and read some of the earlier stuff. The post-Alias comic, but pre-modern Jessica Jones comic.
Oh, yeah?
It's a completely different take on the character that's still true to this.
That's cool.
And she's very good.
Speaking of different takes on characters, Elphaba from Wicked. Huh.
Hell yeah.
All right. I'm okay with that. I'm
into
absolutely
it.
Okay with that. I think probably Wicked sparked the whole reimagining craze and was maybe the best of the bunch.
Certainly the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gregory Maguire's Wicked is amazing. And correct me if I'm wrong, I can't think of any others, but she might be the only character whose name is a pun on this list.
I don't know the pun.
Elphaba. It's a contraction of Al Frank Baum.
Oh. Huh.
Oh.
Terrible. Next on our list, Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games.
So we originally in our last competition, we were kind of thinking, being that Katniss was such the big cultural icon at the time, thought she was going to run away with it, and we're surprised that she didn't. And though I know people's feelings on Katniss have cooled, I still think Katniss is a great character. I still think the original Hunger Games books get you inside of that character and her disposition, and a position that, you know, at least to me is very uncommon, that I think really says something about fiction and female characters in fiction. And I'm hoping that, you know, that still says something and that she goes far.
She's a character that's both leader and survivor. I'm surprised she isn't as highly ranked, but like you said, I think time has kind of cooled on the character. Hopefully she'll do well. Next on our list is Harley Quinn from DC Comics, which almost has the reverse effect. I think Harley may have gotten a bump from the Suicide Squad, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It seems like it was not a well-received movie.
No.
And Harley has a huge fan base and is a very problematic character, whereas people do not know how to feel about her, like almost all the other characters on this list. But interesting. I hope to see.
In a lot of ways, she's a very feminist character because it's a screw you, I'm not going to conform to any one role that you want to put me in. I'm going to be my own character.
But from her origin as a cartoon sidekick from a violent clown, there's a lot of baggage with this character as well. So I'd love to hear some defenses against or for this character. Next on our list is Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. Oh, Daenerys.
Our third Game of Thrones character.
Yeah.
And I think that, once again, we have a very strong leader, someone who's willing to step up and sort of, like, take charge of, like, and really, again, like you
but said, also super incompetent leader.
I, to a certain extent, yes. But I also will say, like, Brienne of Tarth is probably one of the only, like, kind of at least trying to be good-hearted characters there. So, like,
Daenerys is trying too, I think, but she has more power at some points and thus is able to do more wrong.
Yeah.
I think this is a very fascinating character.
Yeah, there's definitely a
bit of a problematic aspect to that character, especially when she does mess up. She does mess up very large, very, very big. But I think she has the potential to become a feminist icon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to personally thank all of our voters who nominated her, because we didn't have a single person write in Khaleesi.
Yeah. I don't think we got a Khaleesi.
She does have a name.
Yeah, there you go. Next on our list, a character who may have actually been higher ranked if people knew the name. That's what I think may have been the issue. Jyn Erso from Star Wars Rogue One.
I think Jyn was a great character, and Rogue One was a real breakout film this year. It's nice that we're seeing Star Wars push into, you know, having these great female leads, obviously following in the footsteps of a character like Princess Leia. You know, and in many ways, a very tragic story. You know, can't go into it too much. New movie, so spoilers. But it's good stuff.
But, like, a very powerful film, a good film, a Star Wars film. Like, it hit all the buttons correctly, and her motivation was very complex, which is always fun. Like, that's one of the reasons why you want to call these characters strong, is because they're well-developed. And the fact that there was more than just one thing motivating her at any given point was interesting. Next on our list, and I am shocked, she is as highly seated as she is, a personal favorite of mine, Coraline from the movie Coraline, or the book. I love Coraline, yeah.
It's your computer that was spitting these results out, wasn't it, Frank?
Oh, yeah. I only voted once, as the Lord intended. But, you know what? This is one of those characters. This is where I'm a little iffy, though. I can't really explain why I love Coraline so much. The film was amazing. The artistry of the creation of the film was great. And the character is fun and interesting and is like the perfect kid icon in a weird upside down, flip side, wacky world. But does the quality of a film transcend the meaning of a character? Like, characters that have done more significance have ranked less.
So what you're saying is you're wondering, do we love Coraline the film, or do we love Coraline the character?
Yeah, and I truly love both, but I see less of my life was changed with Coraline, but I don't know. I guess that's up to the defenses. And our next character, and this one kind of shocks me, but I'm off the wagon. Marceline the Vampire Queen from Adventure Time. Holy crap. Well, highly ranked.
Very highly.
Yeah.
Extremely popular.
Yeah, definitely.
Lucky she didn't make it into the Buffy bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A very deep character with some of those flashbacks we've gotten.
Those flashbacks are killer on Adventure Time.
Yeah.
These are either going to pay off huge and make her like one of the most fascinating characters that's ever been put into definitely a kids TV series, but maybe any series, or they don't pay off.
Yeah, and I think the money may be on paying off.
I think so, too.
So when you look at a lot of these characters, the ones, especially the top seeds, you wonder how many of them are being powered by fan fiction. Mm. And I have a very weird feeling about fan fiction. I mean, I have no problem with it in general, but I do have a problem saying that this character... I might have a problem saying this character is important to me because of all the non-canonical things that happen with this character in my favorite fan fiction. On the one hand, it means, obviously, it inspires fired a lot, so that's cool. On the other hand, it's like, well, yeah, but none of that stuff actually happened. So I don't know if it's really that cool. But with Marceline the Vampire Queen, what I find very interesting is that a lot of the fan theories and stuff that surrounded around the character have been legitimized by the show creators and by the show in some cases. So interesting to see how this will develop.
Mm-hmm.
But we have three more characters. And if you got your seed list in front of you, you're really excited. Don't you peek.
No.
Our next character, Zelda from the Legend of Zelda series.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, thank
Was that
God?
So surprising you slipped into an English accent?
Probably. I'm shocked. Granted, I'm an old fogey, and I haven't played many of the more recent video games. So for me, Zelda's still the princess that needs rescuing, and then eventually just some sort of character you take control over in some video game.
I didn't even know you take control over her.
She does
rescue you a few times, especially in Ocarina.
Yeah. She's so much more than that. She is the patron. Like, we talk, she is the Daenerys Targaryen of her world, in a way. Like more often than not, she is the one in charge. And she's consistently, like, maybe she doesn't need rescuing because someone's, like, trying to kidnap her away, like, oh, I'm going to marry her. It's like, no, I have control over your kingdom because I have...
But is she still, like, or is she just, like, a coveted item?
No.
Because if she was the ruler and all she did is, like, I rule, I'm good, I'm innocent, I'm pretty... She does more than that?
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely... And also,
these are leading questions,
going,
I'm pretty
going
sure.
Going into Skyward Sword gave her so much character and was the first time where you really got, like... I mean, she was strong and powerful and doing a lot of other things to run her kingdom before that. But this was the first time where we got to sit down and actually have, like, character moments between her and Link and, like, made you actually feel about that character. So as much flack as a lot of these games are that these game princesses will get, she is such... interesting character. She's so much more than what you would think she would be.
All right. Another character, brand new, from a relatively new series. Actually, a brand new series.
Oh.
11 from Stranger Things.
Not surprised.
Wow.
I am so excited. This is why we want to do these things all the time, because, like, literally could not have been a character nominated in our last one. 11 is...
Couldn't have been nominated in our last March Madness.
Right.
Let alone our last Women in Fiction.
So, Stranger Things was an amazing show. The question is this a vote for the show or is it a vote for the character?
I would definitely say it was a vote for the character because, I, as I said in our Stranger Things podcast, I wasn't as huge a fan of the show, but I am a huge fan of that character, unabashedly. I have nothing bad to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's both mystically powerful, and she's also, like, a heart. This series powered by kids and their love for each other. Oh, so good. All right. And our last character.
If it's not CJ Craig, I'm rioting.
Our last character in our March Madness Women in Fiction contest is Rey from Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, not wow, surprised. Yeah.
It really better have been.
Yeah, no yeah. surprise
it,
there.
Once you hear it, you're like, okay, good. Oh, really, what can you say about Rey?
She fixes the Millennium Falcon.
Cappy, you've been here this entire time.
Watching from the corner.
All right. Well, that's not at all disturbing. But yes, yeah, she brings us back into Star Wars and does so in a way with Poe and with Finn in a way that makes us feel like we're home again.
And she does it with, you know, at times she's got a wide range of emotions, but underneath it all, it seems to be this boundless joy about her. When she, after she and Finn do the whole thing, the fight, dog fight escape in the Millennium Falcon, the way they're just beaming with excitement. Oh, look what we just did.
Right. And
it's amazing.
There's a lot to be said about whether or not they're just like, characters that we as an audience force our personalities into because we would be that excited by doing it. But that's sort of the joy of Star Wars.
Yes.
I'm a very fun character.
I definitely feel like she is a Star Wars fan put in a Star Wars movie, and I think that's what's so magical about it.
That's very interesting. So we just gave you what our 64 characters are in the Women in Fiction March Madness competition. But now, of course, you want to see who's fighting who in round one.
Yeah, I want to know. Who, Frank?
Well, since you listened to the entire podcast, we are going to tell you the very secret word. This is exclusively for our fans. Tell your friends to subscribe. Get them excited about the station and the network. Because we really, every listener helps. The secret word is battle. And just like everything else you scream into the internet, it's all caps. So go to non-productive.com/secret. and type in the word battle, all caps, and you get early access to our voting for round one. It's going to be exciting. Tell your friends to subscribe to the podcast and to start listening. And please, if you've got something to share about these characters and why they mean so much to you, do so. Let us know, and we'd love to put you on the air.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.